Hi, this is Tia Sirkar. I play Sabine Wren on Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Twin Suns Transmission.
I don't want things to change.
You can't stop the change.
No more than you can stop the suns from setting.
If there's a bright center to the universe, you're on the planet that it's farthest from.
Hey, my name is Taylor Gray, and I play Ezra Bridger in Star Wars Rebels. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Twin Suns Transmission.
Here's where the fun begins.
Let's make this a bit more interesting.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
The garbage will do!
Nothing will stand in our way.
May the Force be with us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Twin Suns Transmission. I'm your host, Eric Pfeiffer, and I am joined, as always, by Jesse Cardella.
Hey, guys.
We're very happy to have you with us. This is the 84th episode of Twin Suns Transmission, so thank you for joining us each and every week. We hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I know I did. Jesse, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was nice. I ate a lot. It hurt. Yeah, but that's okay.
It hurt. You probably got rid of it by now. It's probably It's probably fine now, right? Let's hope so.
Yes.
Anyway,
all is good now.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is the final day of November, so we are inching closer to Rogue One, which is very exciting. And let's go ahead into our How's Your Star Wars segment.
How's your Star Wars?
Oh, Jabba.
Tell that to Country Club.
Ojaba.
So who talks first? You talk first. I talk first.
So Jesse, how was your Star Wars?
My Star Wars was really great this week. So I have been having trouble with our Xbox and Star Wars Battlefront at my boyfriend's house. His Wi-Fi, they need a new router. So we haven't been able to play very much. And my cousin I was talking to actually over Thanksgiving, and he was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're still, you know, rank six. And he was like, you have to come over on Monday and we'll play all morning. And so that's what we did. And we just happened to be playing. And then all of a sudden, Eric texts me and is like, are you on Battlefront? And then we were all playing together. So
yeah,
it was fun. It was a nice morning.
Yeah, because I was out doing something. I don't remember what I was doing. I had a drive somewhere in the morning, and I saw that you got on because I have the Battlefront app on my phone, and I was like,
oh yeah,
she's on. Oh, that's cool. And then I was doing a whole bunch of other things, and then I got home, and you were still on, and I was like, cool. I guess I'll join her. So you were on there with your cousin, and we played mostly Death Star. So
yes.
That was pretty fun. So did you? What rank are you now?
Seven.
Nice.
I'm still getting my bearings with it. It's still a new game for me, and Xbox is kind of a new system for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm still getting my bearings, starting to be able to shoot people a little bit better now. Hopefully I'll be able to rank up faster.
And speaking of Battlefront, the Scarif expansion for Star Wars Battlefront comes out next week on Tuesday, so it's less than a week away now, so that's very exciting, and that'll be mostly what we'll be talking about on next week's show, including a discussion on the newest episode of Star Wars Rebels.
So Eric, how's your Star Wars?
My Star Wars was good this week, Jesse. I, much like you, kind of started up a new game that I hadn't played in a long time, and this is the Galaxy of Heroes game from EA through Capital Games, and I had played this before, but I just started getting back into it, and I had to download it again because I got a new phone. So I think I'm rank 35 right now or something like that. So I've jumped up from level like 20 or 21, which is what I think I was on before, to 35, and I'm really working on getting Rey. So that's my goal. Yeah.
So, I'm addicted to that game.
Yeah. I don't like how you have to wait to do things until, you know, a certain time is up and then you can do things again. Otherwise, you have to pay for it or whatever. And it's like, no, I want to do this now. So,
nope. the higher up you get, the more things you'll unlock, and then you'll be like, oh my god, how do I do it all in one day? I have so many things to do.
Yeah.
So, you'll get there.
Yeah. Well, it is pretty exciting, and it's a fun game, and what I like about it is they have all sorts of characters in there, you know, everything from Clone Wars to the prequels to the original trilogy, and now they're adding some Rogue One stuff. As far as I've seen, there hasn't been any Rebels stuff, though. Am I right?
No. Yeah. I really want Rebels characters.
Yeah.
I would die to have, like, Sabine or, like, Fulcrum Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be awesome.
I'm really close to getting, well, I don't know about really close, but I'm working on getting Luke and Rey and Ventress. Those are, like, my three that I'm closest to getting. So, yeah. Pretty excited about that. It's fun.
It is.
So, we'll keep you updated. Maybe I'll have some awesome stuff next time. But
yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get into this week's Star Wars news of the week, and there was a lot to talk about this week, beginning with the new Force for Change campaign titled Force for Fashion. And this is a t-shirt line, or I guess a grouping of t-shirts that are going to be available at Target, and these t-shirts were designed by Gareth Edwards, as well as some other celebrities and some of the cast and crew that worked on Rogue One, which is pretty awesome. And we got to see some of these t-shirts in the Star Wars show that was released last week. And they look really cool. They look really cool. And for every t-shirt that's purchased, $5 of the price will go to the Force for Change charity. So that's really awesome. Have you seen any of these t-shirts, Jesse?
I have. I actually have one of them on my Christmas list right now.
Oh, nice. Which one's that?
It's like the women's cut one that says, I rebel. Mm-hmm. On it. I think that one's really cool.
Yeah, and it's really cool that you can just go to Target and get this. You know, it's not like you have to put your credit card information in online or anything like that. I mean, there are Targets everywhere. You just go over there and bada bing, bada boom, and you get to, you know, help out a good cause. So that's pretty awesome. It was also the 20th anniversary of StarWars.com last week, which was pretty awesome. And I'm 26 years old, so, I mean, this StarWars.com started when I was 6, which is really hard to believe. And they've been doing a fantastic job. I mean, if you think about the way that StarWars.com was run before and how it is now, I mean, it has definitely improved and grown and there is a Star Wars show. We have Rebels Recon. We have all sorts of cool articles that go up each and every single week. So I think it's really awesome that they have you know, they've been able to keep it going and improve it as well. So congrats to StarWars.com for the 20th anniversary.
On December 2nd, if you go on HotTopic.com, because the Her Universe website is not quite ready to be back up yet, so all of their stuff is still available. Well, not all of it, but some of their stuff is still available on HotTopic.com. And the first, I guess it's the first 1,500 orders, because there's only 1,500 of these pins, will receive a Ahsoka pin that is designed by Dave Filoni. And it's like snow suit Ahsoka with her little hood up and everything, and it's really cute, and I am gonna fight like heck. I'm like 11:59 sitting on my computer trying to make this online order. So it's any Her Universe product that you can find on HotTopic.com. Something might change. I don't know when the website's gonna come up. She says there's more details to follow, but for right now, HotTopic.com is where you can still get Her Universe stuff.
And of course, Hot Topic was the one that acquired Her Universe, which was pretty cool. So that explains why that's the case. And this pin looks really awesome. We should put this on our Facebook page. Did we do that yet? We should, if we haven't.
If we haven't, I will.
Okay. And I love the snow version of Ahsoka. I have some art pieces that I think Grant Gould did one, actually, of Ahsoka in the snow wearing this like snow outfit, which is different from what we actually get to see in the Clone Wars. But I just love her kind of all wrapped in her snowy gear and things like that. Definitely pretty cool. So I'll have to see if I can figure out a way to get something awesome as well. But that is on Friday, December 2nd.
Yes.
All right, and Rogue One tickets were also released this past week on, I guess technically it was Monday morning at 12:01 Eastern time, but for us here in Illinois, it was at 11:01 p.m. on Sunday this past week, and oh my gosh, it was crazy. I don't know if anybody else had issues. You'll have to let us know on Facebook or Twitter if you guys had issues getting tickets, but I was online refreshing and getting ready to go like 15 minutes early on on like the Fandango area. You know, I was getting ready and it said, do you want to be a Fandango VIP person and all this stuff? And I was like, no, not really. Like, I just want to sign out as a guest and stuff, you know? So I wasn't signed in or anything, but I was trying to buy 16 tickets and that was going to be a problem, I think. So, you know, there was this whole thing that came up, and as 11:01 hit, it was like, okay, and you could tell that everything went up and was ready, and people were getting on the site, and then it says, oh, no, we're experiencing technical issues or technical difficulties or whatever. I have the picture here because I took, like, a screen cap. It said, it has a picture of Han Solo and Chewie working on the Falcon, and it says, Fandango, site maintenance, arg, try again soon. And I'm like, ugh, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this whole thing, and then, like, half hour goes by, I still can't get tickets. Meanwhile, I'm seeing people on Facebook that are like, yay, Rogue One tickets acquired, and I'm like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. I don't know why I can't do this. So, luckily, my mom was able to get on, because she was buying tickets for her and my dad to go see at a different theater, and she was able to get in with no problem, which don't understand, since I was on there early refreshing like crazy, still couldn't get anything, opening up different tabs, and it was just super stressful. But Jesse, I got your ticket, and yep, so we're all set, we're all ready to go for the Rogue One release. We're gonna see it at 7 p.m in Gurnee, Illinois.
Yay.
On December 15th. Yep. So
awesome.
On the ultra screen in 3D, so it should be nice. Pretty exciting. Yeah.
And you know, they made up that little error message probably after The Force Awakens last year. They're probably like, well, we've got to come up with some Star Warsy thing that will make people happy while they're scared and freaking out.
Well, that's the thing too. I mean, last year for The Force Awakens, I mean, I know sites crashed. Like, there were gateway timeout service messages and things like that that just I couldn't get anywhere. I mean, here I could get to the Fandango main page. I just couldn't get to the Rogue One area to buy anything. I couldn't buy anything or even put something in my cart or, you know, fill out how many tickets I wanted or whatever. So,
yikes.
Yeah.
But it is nice to know that people are still as excited about a anthology film as they were about one of the episodes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's Star Wars. I mean, sites are going to crash and things when you when you have a certain time for people to get on there and buy tickets. Yeah, I mean, of course, people are going to go nuts and try to get... I know some people got tickets for, like, that day and then the following day and then the following day, you know what I mean?
So, oh, that's crazy. That's really cool. That's something that if I had, you know, all the money, I would just be going and seeing all my favorite movies 100 times before they came out on DVDs.
Yeah. Well, this is something that came out too. There's the Regal Cinema Ultimate Ticket. And I don't know if you've heard about this, Jesse, but it's something that is only available for Regal Cinemas. It's not like AMC or anything like that. And my parents actually bought this for me as an early Christmas gift. It's $100, but you get a metal card, like the size of a credit card, with your name etched into it. And it says Rogue One on it. And it's like a heavy card, you know? It's not like a plastic piece of crap. And you can use this card with your name on it to go see Rogue One every single day that Rogue One is still in theaters at Regal.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's amazing that they did something like that, because there are so many people that want that. Like, I will pay to see it every time. That's really cool.
And you can see it in any format. You can see it in IMAX. You can see it in, you know, 2D, 3D, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. And they have special tickets, like commemorative tickets for Rogue One, like they did last year for The Force Awakens, where you have to go like four Saturdays in a row, and every time you go, if you're one of the first 500, you got one of those special commemorative tickets. And I believe they have three of these commemorative tickets that you have to go back every week to get those. And I know AMC has something similar, and there's all sorts of like 3D glasses around places and cup toppers, and all the theaters have all their different exclusives. But I'm definitely going to be frequenting Regal now, since I can go see it every day if I want in any format. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I would challenge you to actually try and do that every single day.
I don't think that'll happen. We're gonna get through Christmas and everything. I don't know if I'll be at the theater on Christmas. Maybe True. In the morning. We'll see.
Just first thing when you wake up.
Yeah.
Forget the presents. Just run to Regal.
But I think it's really awesome, especially since I saw The Force Awakens 16 times in the theater. That's definitely more than $100. So
right.
Yeah, definitely awesome. Good use of money. And speaking of Rogue One, there was a new teaser trailer / TV spot that we got to see online, and I actually saw it on the TV yesterday. And I know some people are, anytime something comes up at this point, you know, they've seen enough trailers and they are just turning their head away and putting mute on the TV and they don't want to see anything else. So if you have not seen this trailer and don't want to hear about it, maybe mute us for a little bit. But we're going to be talking about this. So there's this really cool teaser trailer for Rogue One, which has Vader breathing throughout the entire thing, which reminded me of a teaser trailer for Attack of the Clones, where we hear Vader's breathing throughout the entire TV spot. So that was really awesome, very reminiscent of that. But one of the coolest things, Jesse, is that we get to see sort of Tarkin.
Yes, looks like. The back of his head anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were your thoughts on this teaser trailer?
I thought it was really cool. I mean, we have all been wondering, you know, how big of a role Vader is going to play. Mm-hmm. And I think this kind of says it's a little bit bigger of a role than maybe we were expecting before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. And it was cool to see Tarkin again, even though I don't really get how they're doing that. Like, is it a different actor or is he completely CGI? Like, what?
Maybe... You know what? Maybe that's all we'll see of him.
Maybe. Maybe just he'll just be back. Like looking out a window and just walk past him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was really cool. I liked that trailer a lot. Especially since it really didn't give anything new away besides like the back of Tarkin's head. You know, I didn't feel like I was seeing too much.
And there was another trailer that was released at one of the Disney shows. I don't know if it was on ABC. It was like the World of Disney or I don't remember what it was. I'm pretty sure they had this same show on last year. I can't remember the exact name of it, so forgive me for not knowing that. But they showed another almost feature-length trailer with a couple other additional scenes that we hadn't seen yet before, and I'm not going to mention any of those yet. We'll just leave it at this, but I think everybody at this point is super excited. We are about 2 weeks away for Rogue One now. So it's getting close, Jesse. We're almost there.
Yes. And I'll be honest, I clicked out of that trailer you were just talking about because I, at a certain point in it, just felt like I had seen too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm done with trailers, I think.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah.
I mean, there's a fine line between showing people stuff to get them excited and producing new content for us to talk about on these to continue getting people ready. But then you also don't want to show too much of the movie and have people feel like they've seen the movie already without even going to the theater. So
yep.
I think I'm good with what I've seen so far. So the next 2 weeks, I'm sure there'll be teasers and things that TV spots we'll see on, you know, on TV promoting the film. But I think I'm good. I think I'm good now.
So now, Eric, before we get into Star Wars Rebels, we have had a Twitter question from one of our good friends on Twitter, Amanda. And she tagged us in an article that it kind of goes through a rumor on why we have not heard anything about an Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone film, why Lucasfilm has not jumped on that opportunity yet. And it goes on to say that Anthony Bresnikan, who is from the Entertainment Weekly magazine, he had heard this rumor that the reason we haven't seen Obi-Wan Kenobi yet is because we are not finished with him in the saga films. So he's thinking that he's heard this rumor that we might still see Obi-Wan in the saga before he ever becomes a standalone film. And the Twitter question is what we think about this rumor.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm not a huge rumor person. I try to stay away from what I see in Entertainment Weekly. I mean, I have the magazines that came out, but I have not read any of the content that's in those pages. I kind of want to stay away from the Rogue One stuff and all that, because I don't want to know. I just want to watch the movie. And generally, we don't report on things here that are rumors. You know, if something is not confirmed, we generally won't discuss it. But right. As far as this Obi-Wan Kenobi rumor, and the reason why they have not announced the standalone film is because, me personally, I don't think there will be an Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone film. I don't think there will be. I think we'll get a Boba Fett standalone film. I do, even though that has not been 100% confirmed. Nothing on StarWars.com or Lucasfilm has confirmed that 100%. We still have a lot of films in the works prior to when that film will be coming out, that third standalone film. We've got Rogue One this year. We've got Episode 8. Then we have Han Solo. Then we have Episode 9. It'll be, what, 2020 or something before we get another standalone film? So we have a lot of time. So I honestly don't think that we will see an Obi-Wan film. I don't know for sure. I'm just throwing that out there. I think, honestly, people would rather see Boba Fett. I do. Now, there might be more movies way after that. Maybe at some point we'll get a standalone film, but I don't think of Obi-Wan, but I don't think it'll be any time before, you know, like 2022 or something like that. So as far as Obi-Wan appearing in the saga films, I think if they do that, it'll be like sort of what we had seen before in The Force Awakens, where we hear his voice, or maybe it's a flashback to Ewan McGregor or something like that. Maybe Luke is talking to Rey about his training with Obi-Wan or you know, something like that or whatever. But that's just what I think. What do you think, Jesse?
I'd love a flashback to Ewan McGregor. That would be so cool to see him flashback in The Force Awakens. I had never even thought about it being a flashback. I always, when I read the article, I was like, oh, maybe he'd be, you know, a Force ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to see an Obi-Wan standalone film. I mean, I am kind of with you. I'm not sure if we'll get that, especially since we have so much lined up right now.
Yeah. I think, not to interrupt you, but I think one of the reasons why people think that there's going to be one is because Ewan McGregor has come out and said that he would be interested in doing one if they asked him to.
Right. But if you think he is, it would be so perfect, though, because he's like the right age for that in between Obi-Wan. So I think that's why everybody's like, oh, come on, you got to do it. It's perfect. But I don't know. It would be cool if we got it, but at the same time, I wouldn't be devastated if we didn't, because it just doesn't seem like something that's likely right now.
I also don't know how much they want to explore this time between episodes 3 and 4, because that's when Rogue One is. Now, granted, it's super close to episode 4, but that's when Rogue One takes place. We also have Rebels, which takes place very similarly, you know, 5 years prior to A New Hope or whatever it is. So we have that as well. And I don't know how much they want to explore that time period. You know what I mean? Maybe they do a lot. I don't know. But
maybe we'll see Obi-Wan in Rebels still. I mean, we did see a hologram of him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he'll still pop up.
Yeah. definitely will be interesting for sure. And thank you so much to Amanda for reaching out to us and asking what we think about certain Star Wars things that are floating around there. So we appreciate the question. And if anybody else has any other questions, please feel free to reach out to us and ask us on Twitter. And if we feel as though it's something to discuss on the show, we will definitely bring it up here as well. All right, let's go into this week's episode of Star Wars Rebels, which was titled The Wincathu Job. And Jesse, this was a very interesting episode. Definitely got me rolling on the floor laughing at on my, you know, gut busting. My sides were aching from laughing. And if you have not seen this episode of Star Wars Rebels, please pause this show or mute it or fast forward or whatever. We do not want to be the ones that are going to spoil you with what happens in this episode, but we are going to talk about what happens in this episode. So we're going to go ahead and get into that now. So we start off with Hondo bringing Asmorrigan, who we have not seen in a decent amount of time in Star Wars Rebels, aboard the Ghost. And it was pretty funny, Jesse, because we have that interaction again between Hera and Asmorrigan.
The feisty one! She hit me with a tray!
Hera, take it easy.
Easy? This sack of bantha fodder tried to buy me from that Sleemo Calrissian and make me his servant.
I pay the fair price. Technically, I still own you.
Ugh.
That whole thing about, she hit me with a tray. I remember her, that type of stuff. Because if you remember, there's that one scene in one of the prior seasons. Can't remember if it was season one or two where Hera smashes Asmorrigan with a tray.
That was a really useful tray.
They make reference to that in this episode, which is pretty funny. So Honda ends up offering weapons and proton bombs to the crew of the Rebels while he goes and gets his riches. And so they head to this Wincathu place. And Jesse, before we go on, I just want to say that I feel like it's amazing how much our Rebel crew has grown since the first time we got to see them in season one.
They have. And they even say something to Hondo like,
"You attacked an Imperial ship.
We do it all the time."
Really?
So yeah, they really have grown.
And I mean, they've worked with Iron Squadron, like we got to see with the prior episode, and they've joined up with the Rebellion, and so we've got Commander Sato, and they've received help from Ahsoka, and Ryder Azadi, who we'll see in next week's episode. And they've worked with all sorts of these other people. You know, they've had Rex join their crew. They have AP-5. They have Fen Rao, who was in a couple episodes ago, Imperial Super Commandos, who has said, "Yes, I want to join up with you guys. You know, I want to be a rebel." They've had Ketsu Onyo they've worked with. This little group of rebels is growing rapidly.
Ah, yes, I see what you mean now. Growing in numbers.
Yes.
That has happened as well.
Yeah. So I think that's really cool to see how that is. And like not to mention just the numbers, but what you were referring to, Jesse, is just like maturity and things like that. And they've gone from giving food to small villages to attacking these Imperial Star Destroyers and ships and things. So it's really cool to see how things have changed since season one. Now we find out that Hera doesn't trust Ezra. When Hondo is around, he's very influenced by who he's around, whether it be Darth Maul, whether it be Hondo. I mean, he tries to see the good in all these people and the positives. And sometimes, according to Hera and Kanan, you just can't do that. You just can't do that. Right. So Hera doesn't trust Ezra when Hondo's around. So she ends up putting Zeb in charge of this mission to go get these proton bombs and weapons, which Ezra's not very happy about. He's not very happy about this at all. And it kind of reminds me of episode 3 when Anakin is not selected to go get Grievous. You know, they said a master's needed with more experience. And Anakin's like, "Well, the Chancellor suggested that I lead the campaign." And then, you know, Mace Windu's like, "The Council will decide who's to go, not the Chancellor." So it's like that whole thing where Anakin feels as though he's ready to do things. He's ready to be a master on the Council. It's the same thing with Ezra here, and they don't put him in charge, and it makes him upset.
Right. And I think Ezra has like a sense of ownership with this one since he, you know, set it up and he was the contact with Hondo. So I think it was kind of a slap in the face for him to not be put in charge.
Yeah, I would agree. But that's something that he's going to have to get over and he's going to have to mature and he's going to have to learn, you know. So we have Hondo, Asmorgan, Zeb, Ezra, and Chopper that board this ship above Wincathu, and they find one of Hondo's Ugnaughts who is super upset because this Ugnaught was left there to die from Hondo, and that's when we learn that Hondo has come to this place before looking for these riches and these weapons and had to leave because they weren't able to be successful. So that's pretty unfortunate, but they end up finding these weapons and these treasures. And all of a sudden, Asmorgan disappears, and he's not there. And it turns out that he was captured by the sentry droid, and Zeb has to go look for him. And Zeb ends up getting captured, and Ezra has to go save the day with Chopper. And it's funny because as they're escaping, the sentry droid is coming after them, and Asmorgan just freaks out, and he takes Ezra's blaster and just runs out in the middle of the hallway screaming uncontrollably and just haphazardly blasting this sentry droid, basically like with his eyes closed almost, and he ends up killing this droid or destroying it. But that's the whole point of these droids. If one of them is attacked and damaged, then the rest of them all wake up and they all come out, and then there's this huge problem with all of these sentry droids trying to take them out.
I felt like AP was kind of pulling a Hondo, where they're both just leaving out a bunch of important information to the rebels and getting them into all kinds of trouble.
Well, the good thing is, just like many of these other episodes of Star Wars Rebels, the end turns out that they all escape. So it all works out. Yeah. So let's talk about this episode real fast. Now, Jesse, this episode did not have some of our major players like Thrawn in it necessarily. It didn't have Ahsoka. It didn't have some of these other major players. It wasn't a ton of Hera or Sabine necessarily. It was it was kind of Zeb and Ezra with Hondo and Asmorgan. So what were your thoughts on this episode?
I actually really enjoyed this episode. I at first was kind of like, oh, we're leaving, you know, a bunch of my favorite people behind. This is kind of a bummer. But it ended up being a really, really fun episode. And I kind of like episodes where Ezra grows. So I was kind of excited to see him start to realize and kind of stop seeing 100% the good in people and see that Hondo's really not the person that you can trust fully all the time.
Yeah.
So I liked seeing him grow, and it was a really hilarious episode. I really enjoyed it.
Any episode with Hondo is just so funny. It's just so funny. And I've talked to some people, and they were saying that, you know, Jim Cummings, the guy who does the voice of Hondo, is he's just naturally funny, but sometimes he'll just go off on these rants, and he'll just get into character and just do all sorts of improv that they end up using in Star Wars Rebels, because he'll just make up stuff on the spot, and they're like, oh yeah, that'll work, that sounds funny, kids will like that, or you know, whatever. So they include it, which is pretty awesome. So let's talk a little bit about Rebels Recon, Jesse. And in Rebels Recon, they make the comparison between Ezra and Hondo due to the fact that they've had very similar paths. I mean, if you think about what Ezra was like before he joined up with this group of rebels, he was a street rat, he would steal food, he would steal and try to cause trouble within the Empire, and that's, you know, he was only out for himself, basically, and that's kind of what Hondo is. And so they make this comparison in between the two of them, and this is kind of why they get along. Is that something that you thought about when you were watching this episode?
It's not, and it's also not until Rebels Recon that I really realized that Ezra's deal with all these kind of bad guys that we know to be bad, but he, you know, befriends, is that he does see the good in people. And that's like the first time they kind of said it in Rebels Recon, and I was like, oh wow, like I like thinking of Ezra like that more than I like thinking of him as like, oh, the kid that's just fallen into the wrong crowd all the time. Like, I'd rather think of him as like the kid that's just sees the good in people, and that becomes a problem for him. So
I think very rarely do we get a situation where the character wants to go to the dark side. I mean, it's different with Kylo Ren. He obviously is fighting the light, and he wants to be a darksider. Now, we have Anakin, who ultimately what he wanted to do was save his wife. That's all he wanted to do. And he wanted to be that he wanted to be the chosen one. You know, he wanted to be the Jedi that destroyed the Sith and brought peace to the galaxy. But he also wanted to save Padme more. And he was willing to do whatever he needed to save her. Now, it turned out, obviously, not to happen that way. But I don't think Ezra, in a very similar situation, is a bad person. I think he just is falling into situations where he's being manipulated, like by Darth Maul. And he gets into situations where he has these Sith holocrons that are pulsing with the dark side aura, you know, and it's just hard for him to resist. So I don't think that Ezra is innately bad by any means, but he's just gets into these situations where it's hard for him to turn back. But we get to see these sentry droids in this episode, and those were directly taken from or inspired by the Dark Troopers from the Dark Forces games, which are pretty cool. It was really cool to see something taken from video games and have something very similar included in current Star Wars. And they've been doing that more and more, so that's pretty awesome.
It's cool to see them pull things from past stories or games that people really loved instead of creating something completely new. I think that's fun.
Yeah. All right, well, the next episode of Star Wars Rebels is coming up this Saturday on Disney XD. This episode is titled An Inside Man. And we get to see Ryder Azadi again, Jesse, and this is the guy that basically gave Ezra the truth about his parents, and we haven't seen him since then, really. And we also get to see a land speeder and some other cool things that are going to happen in this episode. So what are you looking forward to most about the next episode?
I think it looks really cool. I love those high-speed action chases, and it looks like it's going to be one of those. I love seeing Ezra and Kanan, you know, just hanging off of various speeder bikes and using their lightsabers to cause trouble. So I think it'll be really cool. And there's also, like, a little clip on the StarWars.com YouTube that has Thrawn in it as well. So we're going to see Thrawn again, and he looks extra dark and creepy, as usual, but scarier this time.
I'm excited for that.
If that's possible, yes.
Well, I think that we're due for a Kanan-centric episode here. I mean, we've had the Imperial Super Commandos, which was mostly about Sabine. We've had that, I can't remember the name of the episode, but it was all about Hera and her going back to get her special artifact from her home. And we've had these episodes with Ezra, obviously, dealing with Hondo, and Zeb was a prime player in this latest one as well. I think we're due for a Kanan episode here pretty soon.
I agree. I think so.
We'll have to see. Maybe Darth Maul will come back. You know, who knows? Who knows? But as always, Star Wars Rebels is super entertaining, and I'm very excited to see what happens, especially with Thrawn as the season continues. So join us next week as we talk about An Inside Man. All right, Jesse, let's go into our main topic of discussion here, which we probably won't spend a whole lot of time on, but you and I got to go to this really cool exhibit at a local library in Elgin, Illinois, that I had actually seen in the newspaper an article trying to promote this event, and it was this guy named Jared who has an interesting Star Wars collection, and he had it on display, I guess, last year for the time when The Force Awakens was coming out in theaters, and he kind of has been going around to some of these libraries and displaying his collection for people to go see. And Jesse, you got to talk to him briefly about what was up on display.
So I'm here with Jared, and we're at the Nostalgia Awakens exhibit in Elgin Library. And Jared, I was wondering if you could just give us a brief overview of what's here in your exhibit at the library.
Sure. What I have on display here at the Elgin Library, it's a collection of original Kenner toys from 1978 to 1985. And what's on display, it's every action figure ever made and every vehicle and playset that was released during that era. As long as it was featured in the movie or of a character, it's here.
That's awesome. And so how did you come about to get an exhibit in the Elgin Library?
Well, This display was created first for a different different museum. It was part of something called Collector's Corner, and the person working there suggested to me, said, "Hey, didn't you used to collect Star Wars toys? And with The Force Awakens coming out, why don't you bring your collection out?" And I thought, why not? Let's do this. And so I went to my parents' place and dug out my collection. I filled some holes in it because I knew if I was going to display it, I wanted to be able to say that it's complete. And so I was able to drop in a few holdout pieces I never collected back at the 90s and completed it. And we had that display. And I was at a museum convention this fall, and where a representative from the library here saw me there and invited me to bring the display to their library.
Nice. So you had to have been quite young when the original trilogy came out. So how did you come about to start collecting?
Right. I always wondered, are kids collectors? Because, you know, they look at the back of the card and they make lists and they request and they ask and they amass toys, but they play with them. So I didn't know if I was a collector who played with my toys or a kid who collected the toys. But I, as a kid, Star Wars toys were my favorite material thing, you know. So they meant so much to me growing up, and I loved them up until like the mid-80s when I started to get into other toys. And I had, you know, Star Wars, like for many people, we just didn't think about it as much during the late 80s. There were other things happening, other toys to collect. And I grew up, you know, I was a teenager and didn't think about toys much. And then when I was in college, I stopped at a comic book shop down the road from where I lived in Madison, Wisconsin, and they sold comic books as well as old toys. And there in the display case for sale were some of the toys that I had as a kid. So I would just, you know, press my face against them saying, I had that, because I was just feeling these nostalgic vibes that were so good because it had been so long since I revisited these old friends. And then I saw things I never owned. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I need that. I've got to complete that. I want that because I never had it as a kid. And so that's I set out at that point to start collecting, filling the holes in the collection I never had as a kid.
That's really awesome. And this collection is amazing, and it's a really great display here. Do you have it on display at home as well?
No, it's at home. It was in storage. It's sad to say, because when this goes down, you know, I had an offer to display it at another place, and quite honestly, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of wear and tear on these pieces. When I was reassembling the Palutoid Death Star, you know, that thing is made out of chipboard and it's really hard to assemble, and some of the paper was starting to tear. I'm thinking, oh. And so it's just balance, you know. It's the same balance we face in museums, which is where I work. I work as a curator. And so it's this balance between preservation and use. It's like an artifact is valuable because of what it is, but yet if you display it for people to enjoy, to learn from, you use it up because it's exposed to the elements. But if you pack it away and care for it in storage, nobody can see it, but yet it lasts longer. So it's kind of like that with these toys. It's hard to imagine that after only 30-something years, 38 years, 35 years, this plastic is getting fragile. And so when I was adjusting the legs on the AT-AT, for example, getting him right in the place, you know, everybody knows, whoever had one of these AT-ATs, you kind of click the knees in place. And every click, it was like he's arthritic, you know. I was like, no, please don't break a tab. Please don't break a plastic tab as I snap him into place. And I just don't know if they'll... the tour around. But at the same time, this has been so much fun talking to you and to others who came while I was setting up and then tonight, when it comes down to it, it's all about sharing in something that's so positive and fun, like the nostalgia of growing up a Star Wars kid.
Right, it's a delicate balance.
Yes.
And a lot of your collection, this is all vintage. Mm-hmm. So do you keep up with the current merchandise that's released for all the new movies that are coming out?
I don't collect the new stuff. I began, like everybody else, back in 1995 when Hasbro started what we call now the Power of the Force 2 collection. I was collecting everything, and sometimes more than one of each, just like everybody else. And I kept up with it, and I loved it. It was a lot of fun. But around 2000, I decided that, my heart wasn't in it anymore, and I was running out of space, and... it was just getting a little out of hand for me, and so I was like, I'm going to stop. And then I ended up selling everything from 95, everything modern. I mean, basically I sold probably like 9-10 boxes worth of stuff to get one vintage item, because that's how the market is. But I decided I would just focus on the vintage stuff because that's where my heart is, and I can't collect it all.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us. We really enjoyed your talk, and your exhibit is awesome.
Thank you for the for coming tonight and for asking me these great questions. I'm so blessed to have the opportunity just to share something that's means a lot to me with people that that enjoy it just as much.
So, Jesse, what was it like for you to go to see all of these vintage toys on display super nicely with all their accessories at this library?
It was kind of unbelievable. Like, who knew that you could still find stuff in that absolute perfect of condition? Like, I know he said there are some things where you had to find specific little pieces that weren't in the best condition when he bought the toy, but everything was perfect. Like, no one had ever played with it, or whatever kid played with it was super OCD and didn't mess anything up.
And
it was cool.
And it's amazing how collecting has changed over the years. You know, you have back what he was talking about. He had a magazine that he went to his local store, and that's how he found out about what else he was missing. And looking at the back of the packages to see, okay, these are the other ones that are in this set and in this line. We have the internet now. There are checklists that you can find online, you know, almost even before the figures are at the shelves. You know what I mean? So it's amazing how collecting has changed over the years.
It is. And it's a little scary, too, because I know he talked a bit about during the talk how you have to be careful of all these counterfeit people who try to rip you off by, you know, making something that's not original. So it sounds like a scary, you know, focus to have these vintage pieces, because you could really get yourself into trouble.
Yeah, and he was talking about that, like what you were just saying, with the vinyl caped Jawa. I mean, he would love to have a vinyl caped Jawa, and that's, as far as I could see, the only thing that he did not have. I mean, he had a regular Jawa, but he didn't have the vinyl caped one, and somebody asked him that. I was actually going to, or maybe no one asked him. He may have just brought it up on his own, but he was saying that he didn't have that because he is worried that he's going to get ripped off, you know?
Right.
So that's one of those things where you have to be super aware that there are counterfeits, there are, you know, people out there trying to scam you, which is unfortunate, to make an extra buck. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, but there are people out there that will do that, and not only with figures, but with some of their weapons. You know, he was talking about the Princess Leia blaster, that some people were coming up with different ways to test if it was a legit blaster, like throwing it in the bathtub to see if it would sink or not. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. But it was really cool to see all those. And, you know, he mentioned that he doesn't have his collection on display normally, which is kind of sad. I mean, it's definitely a way to preserve it. But, for instance, my collection, I have all the blinds shut in my house, so there's no direct light that comes into the house. I have a dehumidifier down in the basement, so if it gets, you know, really humid and stuff, that the water gets all sucked up into my dehumidifier. And, you know, I try to keep the dogs out of areas where they could wreck stuff or things like that, you know. I live in an area like in the Chicagoland area where it doesn't get super humid necessarily for the majority of the year anyway, unlike Florida where it's like, oh, geez, you know. I've taken some items to Florida and I've had like 8x10 stick to plastic casings.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because it's of the humidity. I don't have that problem where I'm at. But yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting. Did you have a favorite piece that he had on display there?
I liked seeing the different Death Stars that were made by different countries and like everybody's different concept of, you know, what would be best for that culture of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I really liked seeing the Ewok Village. That's something I don't have in my collection. I've seen it for sale at a couple places for about $200, like vintage shops in the city, but the boxes are all damaged and things, and while it would be cool to have, I kind of want to have it in a little bit better condition. And I also liked to see his blue Snaggletooth, which was really cool.
Yes. And I also just thought it was really cool to see all the people that came out for it, to like see, you know, these parents who were around for when the originals came out, bringing their little kids. And there was that one, I think you've got a picture of it, of this man and his, like, little toddler, and he's, like, pointing out figures to his, like, little toddler, and I was like, oh, my God,
yeah.
Frame that picture. Like, that needs to be in a museum. It's so cute. And everybody, you know, was hung around and talked afterwards, and it was just a cool setting. It just brings out, I don't know, events like that, you get to meet new people and talk to people who you wouldn't have necessarily talked to before, and you all love the same thing, so
mm-hmm.
It's really cool.
And it just goes to show you that, yes, Star Wars is for everybody. You know, Definitely. It's not just for collectors. It's not just for older fans who were alive during the originals. It's not just for young kids who enjoy the animated series. It's literally for everybody. Definitely pretty awesome. And one of my favorite things that he talked about during his little talk before we got to interview him is that he was saying that back in the 70s, you know, the toys came out after the movie, and now all the toys come out prior to the movies, but that wasn't the case back then. But what they did was they were in production with these characters for the Cantina. So from the originals, they were in production creating some of these characters prior to the movie's release. So, for example, like Greedo, he was saying that when Kenner received information that, yes, we want a Greedo action figure, Lucasfilm had sent them a picture of Greedo's head. This is what this character is going to look like. But the actual body of the character and his costume was not provided to Kenner. So that's why, like, Greedo's body is all green and things. It looks nothing like the costume that Greedo actually has in the film.
Right.
So I thought that was pretty cool. And that's also the reason why the blue Snaggletooth is wearing a blue outfit and he's tall, unlike the actual Snaggletooth where he's in a red costume and he's little, which they went back and did later.
Yes, that was really interesting.
All right. So hopefully you guys enjoyed our little talk about the Nostalgia Awakens exhibit in Elgin at the library there. So we'll be trying to do more of some of these local events and try to get you guys as much exposure and to make you feel like you were actually there as we possibly can. And if you want to see more, Jesse, you're going to be writing a blog post on this, right? With a whole bunch of pictures that we had taken from this whole exhibit.
Yes, I will be. And yeah, I hope to find some of those pictures of people, you know, looking at the different parts of the collection with their kids. I really loved that. So hopefully I'll be able to fit one of those in there as well.
Yep, absolutely. And I know last week I had told you guys that we would have a interview with the people at Nissan about the Nissan Rogue, but my local Nissan has not received their Nissan Rogues in yet. So they said it would be by the end of the month, and today is the final day of the month. So hopefully within the next few days, they will get their Nissan Rogues in, the Star Wars versions, and we can go take a look, Jesse, and check out this cool Star Wars vehicle that's going to be for sale. And I guess they have special keychains and everything as well. So I will go over there this week and hopefully have an interview with them and more information about the Star Wars car that's coming out for Nissan next week. All right, that'll bring us into this week's Star Wars trivia. Jesse, what do you got?
So last week's trivia was, what species of alien is Guti Terras from Iron Squadron? The answer was Thelan, and that was answered correctly by David.
All right, congratulations, David. And what is this week's?
This week's trivia is, what is the species and name of Hondo's monkey lizard pet from the Clone Wars?
All right, so if you know the answer to this question, go onto our Facebook page and find the post that's asking for the answer to this question. If you are the first person to answer this question correctly, you will receive a shout-out on next week's show. And Jesse, this is the last show of November, which means next week will be the first show of December, and we are going to be giving away a prize for the first person to answer that trivia question correctly. Before we go, Jesse, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Jess Living with Muggles, and you can find me on Twitter at CardellaMJ, as well as our podcast Twitter at Twin Sons Podcast.
Okay, and if you're looking for me, you can find me on facebook.com/TwinSonsOutpost or TwinSonsTransmission. You can also find me and more information about my collection on facebook.com/PfeifferCon. I am also on Twitter @@_EricPfeiffer, as well as Instagram @FuseUmbrella13, which also happens to be our Twitch feed page. And beginning next week, we will have all sorts of more Twitch feeds relating to the new Rogue One expansion, which will bring me to which will bring us to our topic for next week, the Rogue One Scarif expansion for Star Wars Battlefront. We should also have more information on the Nissan Star Wars Rogue vehicle, as well as the new episode of Star Wars Rebels titled An Inside Man. So thanks so much for joining us on this week's episode of Twin Sons Transmission. For Eric and Jesse, we'll see you next week. May the Force be with you.
Air Master Tatooine. It's controlled by the Hutt. I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine.
This sun's doing murder to me, I think.